Call the City of Franklin's County Council order. Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Mayor Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Dandrea.
Here.
Alderman Mayor.
Present.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderman Skronsky.
Here.
Rise, turn to the pledge allegiance, everybody.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item on agenda, the citizens' comment period. Are there any citizens wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? We will limit it to 3 minutes per speaker, and if anyone wants to speak after that, after everyone else has spoken, we will allow it. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Leroy Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I just want to bring the attention of item 8. It states, addendum to self-storage facility use, special use permit to allow for parking vehicle exceeding 8,000 pounds. That means dump trucks, semi-trailers. Well, that's not the intent when I was at the planning department. It was supposed to have a limit of 13,000.
Yeah, 13 pounds.
You're close. But this way, they can park anything there. I don't know why that was changed, but it has been changed. The other issue is the concept review for proposal of this Century store. I think it's a white elephant, and I don't think we should go that way. It's no interest. I mean, we're going to take that off the tax roll. We really need 70-30, and if we take it over, that's wrong. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, you look familiar.
Janet Evans, 4415 West Hilltop Lane, candidate for Alderman District 4. I'd like to address item G2, status of open common council items, specifically regarding the recommendation to modify ordinances to address cyberbullying. As a board member, I did not receive a request from the Common Council for input on this resolution. As board president, since April 25th, 2012, there was no correspondence received by me to put before the board. I quote, "You're waiting for a response now for almost 2 years. I'm letting you know tonight that I did not receive a request and that if it is resubmitted to the board, to the board, it should be submitted to the board president. Also, as a citizen, I'm curious as to why all three school districts are not being contacted for input on this ordinance since it involves students from the entire city of Franklin. The second item I'd like to address is item G13, the status of open complaints, specifically regarding new ordinance 2014-2129 that went into effect on January 18th regarding the prevention of blight created by boarded up homes, specifically in reference to the home located on 4199 West Hilltop Lane that was featured in a Fox 6 News video piece featuring Common Council President Taylor. What wasn't featured in the video or stated when the ordinance was passed was whether new complaints must be filed. It's now March 4th, and the house still remains boarded up and an eyesore. So my question is just, well, not a question, my comment is it should be made more specific as to whether a complaint needs to be filed again. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizen comment period? Sir, if you could come forward, please state your name and address for the record. We'd appreciate it.
My name is Ken Stannis, 10515 West St. Martin Road. I'm here to ask some questions in regards to the water main going through in front of just three of our houses in regards to that.
Okay. There is going to be a presentation that's going to be made by Mr. Bennett. And then after the presentation, if the council would like to open it up for public hearing. It's going to be open for public hearing, so you'll be able to comment at that time. So it's only going to be in a few minutes.
Okay, very good. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else wishing to speak? Yes, sir.
Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court. My good friend here brought up about the Century Store, and I stand in opposed to it. I'd like to first of all know what we're going to do with a senior civic center, what's going to be in it? We're going to put computers in there and stuff like that. If we do, all of these senior housing houses that have gone up recently have their own. They've got their computers. They've got their tracks for or running machines and stuff like that for the seniors. If it's just going to be a bigger building to serve the meals that the county serves at noon, that's a falling program anyway, because they're supposed to donate $2 per person for that, and they're lucky if they're getting 70 cents per person on it. And you can check my figures on that, because I know people who work there. Another thing is, with this senior center, who's going to man it? We're going to have to pay wages. Who's going to take care of it? Everything else. A lot of stuff to think of. I do not want to see Franklin dollars being spent to buy a building. I would rather they spend it on what I've been asking you for over 2 years out of your rec budget for those softball diamonds, for soccer fields, and now I added another one for you, that lady who's got Kaylee's?
Kaylin.
Crew, she wants to build that,
playground.
Mm-hmm. That's good for the handicapped people. Well, anyway, that could all be incorporated into one big budget. And with that, I think that the softball diamonds cost roughly $70,000 each. If you put three in, four of them will cost you $280,000. With concession stands, bathrooms, bleachers, and everything else that goes with that, that can't cost over $1.5 million. So, and I am assuming that that building down there is worth about $2 million, that Century building. So if we're going to shell out that kind of money, let's spend it on our children and on our people here who are the young people, who are the future of this city. Because the stuff for the elderly is here already. We don't need any more. Also, whoever negotiated the original rock proposal should have negotiated in there so we could have saved more money that the high school got their JV and varsity games for free over there. At least we'd be getting something out of them. And that's not only baseball, but they could have got the softball and the soccer if we'd have held them to the contract then. But we screwed up there too. So, you know, it's things we got to look forward to in the future. What's going to serve these people, our people, the best? And I think our children deserve a lot more out of this community than what they've been getting lately.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. It's the first I've seen this about the item number three. But people are always quick to jump up and oppose programs when they don't know anything about them. And we don't know what's going to happen, what would develop. We don't know what the negotiations might be about that Century store. It might not happen at all. And then again, it might. And it might be good for the city. It might be good for the seniors, and it might be good for the people in high school and grade school and so forth, because it's a community center as well. So why don't we sit back and take it easy instead of getting all excited about this, just this simple proposal. And like I say, we're always quick to jump up and oppose something if we think it's going to cost us a little bit of tax money. Well, we're not going to get out of this world without paying taxes. We've got two things we've got to do during this life, and that's die and pay taxes. So let's just cool it a little bit and see what happens with the city and the negotiators for the city.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir, if you could. And then no objection when we get done with everyone.
Jeff Piller, 11510 West Janesville Road. I'm applying for the special use permit on 11113 West Forest Home. And on the last meeting, you guys had some questions about our hours. So just while everyone was here, I just want to answer them, maybe so you guys could think about it before we got to it. We proposed 24-hour towing. You know, the office would only be open like normal business hours during the day. The 24-hour part is only if It's for like emergency purposes. You know, at 2 a.m., 3 a.m., there's a drunk driver that gets in an accident. Then a tow truck would have to obviously tow it and bring it back. So that's the only time when trucks would be moving in and out after hours. So.
Okay, thank you very much. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period? Yes, sir.
Me first.
Yeah. Could you please state your name and address for the
21 Redwood Court. I think most of you probably know how I feel about North Cape Road. Just to touch on it briefly again, I think what I think has happened is a lot of the residents that have opposed it were seeing that they were presented with something that was very extreme and extreme. If it wasn't those two things, it's going back to nothing. I'm hoping that we are able to open up the discussion or the motion to have some between extreme and nothing. As I proposed, having a little bit wider shoulders just to have bike access for people who can access the road without getting pushed off the road when a car comes or when they pass bikes, they have to go outside the road. Safe access, especially crossing Ross and the park there. I know there's a tight area in front of Country Dale, but that road, the traffic during before it's going after school, is a huge congestion problem. So hopefully we can have something that's not necessarily extreme. I think a lot of the citizens that even are on North Cape would be acceptable to having a little bit wider so we can have the road safe. I know they don't want their road or yards, as they say, blown up, but having access there would make it safer. Secondly, I just want to say I hope that the committees that report to the Common Council don't feel that they need to mince their opinions. Having the citizens and the aldermen on the committees being able to report freely and openly and give their opinions to the council is important. If they feel like, well, we need to mince our words, we have to watch what we recommend, it's just a recommendation. The committees have no actual authority. The Common Council has it all. So having the committees say, well, you can't say this, you can't say that. In the end, it's all up to you. Just you're listening to their opinions, and if they feel they can't, there's no point in committees.
Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period that hasn't spoken already? Yes, sir. If you could please come forward, please state your name and address for the record.
Anand Nadekar, 9200 South 48th Street. It's regarding number G9. It's a request for actually releasing the open space buffer. I put in the request like multiple times actually, and what I'm looking for is just creating a deck for myself, obviously for me and my family. I've been denied multiple times on this. My request was basically, so I'm trying to get a 6 feet waiver. All I'm looking for is a 6 feet waiver. And I'm saying the MLG, the group which actually created the covenant, as well as my neighbors are supporting me. They're okay with my approval, but planning city is not. Right? So that's where I'm saying if I have got the approval from MLG, I've got the approval from my neighbors support that, right? So there are cases, I've talked to different people, there have been cases where variances have been given before. So why is my variance or why is my application being denied? It's just a request for 6 feet.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else that hasn't spoken during the citizens' comment period? Sir, anyone else that has not spoken?
Lima Lewandowski, 8030 West Winston Way. I just want to remind the people that this common community building over here, there is that luncheon that goes on that Mr. Casper Green referred to, but there's only about 45 people that generally attend that facility. And some of those people, and it's okay for them to be there, come from all over, Hales Corners, Greenfield, Greendale. So it isn't a large amount of people that are there. One of the issues I want to bring up is we also have problems when we're going to support rock sport, we're going to support the Croatian people, we're going to spend money on this building. I can't even get you to change the audio system. When?
I hear you loud.
All this money you're going through. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Leroy. Anyone else wishing to speak during the citizens' comment period?
Okay. There's a little girl that keeps jumping.
Jim Lysak, 8756 West Mallard Court.
There's a little girl that wanted to.
Good. Cool.
Did you want to come up and speak?
She's tri-pulsing.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record.
As tall as you.
My name is Ashlyn Kuharski. I live at 6821 Redwood Court. I am a current student at Countrydale Elementary, and I would not feel safe going on the road, biking, or walking anywhere on North Cape. It's not safe. If you would rebuild it that exact same way, it could be better if you would have crosswalks and bike paths and walking ways for pedestrians.
Thank you very much. Did a great job. How about a round of applause? Okay, anyone that hasn't spoke wishing to speak? Jim? I should say, sir?
Yes. Jim Isaac, 8756 West Mallard Court. Just so you don't misunderstand what I was saying, I'm not against the senior center. What I am against is buying someone's property to bail them out because they haven't been able to rent that place for over 2 years or 3 years. That's what we're going to be basically doing if we follow through with this. I'd rather you build a whole new senior center then, rather than bail somebody out. Then we're going to go over here and bail somebody else out in some other shopping center. And down here, no, I don't agree with that. I'll tell you what, a lot of my neighbors aren't going to agree with that.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak that hasn't spoke during the citizens' comment period? Is there anyone else? If not, I'm going to close the citizens' comment period and turn to item, real quick, we close the citizens' comment period, but one of the things in North Cape Road is that I did have a conversation with the city engineer today about would it be feasible to add a shoulder to North Cape Road, because I don't know, because I'm not an engineer, and asked that Mr. Bennett please include that in his discussions with Milwaukee County. I'm not recommending it, but I do think that there are a number of people that contacted me. I did talk to the county supervisor, Supervisor Taylor, today about that, and asked him that to please use his good office to go and talk to the engineering folks down in the Public Works. Again, I don't know if it's feasible, and I would also point out that I and I believe several of the other elected officials have made public statements that we would like to see that path that's commonly referred to as the We Energy path behind the grade school paved, and that there come a day where the city keep that path opened year-round with a B-plow or whatever, and that we approach the school district, and maybe we can talk to Janet and her colleagues about a couple items, about whether a branch off of that path could go to Countrydale School. I understand there's security measures, but I'd like to talk to the elected representatives of the school board regarding that item. I think it's a good way for the city and the school district and Milwaukee County to all work together. Last piece is that North Cape Road is not currently a City of Franklin road. And many of us are only looking at trying to get that road fixed because we've been lobbying Milwaukee County for almost 10 years because we're afraid someone's going to get killed on that road. And I've made those public statements. There's nobody up here on the council that has to do anything regarding that road because it is a Milwaukee County road. But money is tight. We saw a light at the end of the tunnel to try and pursue this and try and do what I think is the right thing. You know, when you're a politician, I guess, out of Chicago or L.A. or something like that, the easiest thing would be for us just to drop the whole proposal and say the hell with it and turn it over to Milwaukee County and have everybody contact Milwaukee County. But I think the council, I know the council, I know previous councils, are concerned about making sure that we do everything possible to open up that road. And so did I state it somewhat correct?
Yeah, I mean, I think we all, thank you, Your Honor, I think all of us have been contacted by residents that haven't been at the public hearings or Countrydale for that public event. and said, you know, isn't there something that we can do safer? Can't we put in, you know, like the mayor said, I've gotten requests, and I said, well, why not look at a wider shoulder to see if that is, like on College Avenue, that's worked there. Is it as ideal as a sidewalk? No, but, you know, we heard loud and clear people don't want that in their front yards. So, you know, I've talked to county staff and said, let's figure out a way, just like the mayor did with engineering. So we can at least take a look at what the costs are, if it's practical, what kind of encroachment. But I think there's one thing that when I've been having conversations with people that have emailed or called, you know, once the city actually has this road, we can do things that we wanted to over the years. We can reduce the speed, but it didn't meet criteria that of Milwaukee County. We can put stop sign four-way intersection at Rawson. We can put in additional stop signs. We talked about heavy truck traffic. We can ban that, except for local deliveries. We can write some tickets, you know, and we know we have an officer that lives right on the road. So just by the city taking it over, we can make it a safer street to begin with. I mean, just a few items, actions right there. And I don't think any of us up here would oppose those. So, you know, I think we're trying to get to some sort of common ground. And I think the mayor is absolutely correct that the people that we need to talk to when it comes to the school district are the elected officials. Because administration kind of, or somebody in the administration sent out an email saying, we provide buses to all the kids, so we're not going to worry about this pathway. And that's the way I read it, and that's pretty much what it said. Well, I think we have elected officials that we should be talking to, and that being the school board, because they're the ones that can make that decision happen.
I guess the last piece on this, and that's that tonight I passed out the letter I sent to Dr. Patz some time ago. There was I had Joel Deedle follow up on it. I know it was mailed out from here. Apparently there was some confusion, so we re-mailed it out to Dr. Patz, and I'll just read you the last piece. As this project will directly impact the Franklin School District and the Countrydale Elementary School, I believe it is important to get your input on this matter, particularly in regard to the sidewalk. Therefore, please contact me at your earliest convenience with your thoughts and suggestions about this proposed project. Should you wish to meet to discuss this matter further with myself or staff, just let me know. Signed, Thomas Taylor. So with that, I'm going to turn to announcements. And that's item B, announcements from me regarding...
Excuse me, clarification?
Oh, yes.
The letter is dated January 16th, but it said it was mailed on 1-6, correct? That's what it says on the letter.
1-16.
Oh, 1-16. Right. Okay. But it didn't reach there? I wasn't understanding that.
I don't know if Joel's here, but Joel, I asked you to check into this to see if this was mailed and...
As far as we can tell, it was mailed. Everybody believes it was mailed, but the school superintendent said he didn't receive it.
And so we sent out a second mailing once we received that.
Yes. So. Yeah, actually, emailed it.
And I did have one-on-one conversations with the superintendent regarding the path and a branch to the path, and we have received some response back from that. So, all right, announcements, item B, A, mayoral proclamation, which designates May 3rd, 2014, as Arbor Day in the city of Franklin. Any questions? If not, it's for informational purposes. I asked Chief Remington, you can discontinue this, whoever the mayor is going to be, that we receive letters, the council received letters, so that this gets in the official record, so that the people know that yes, our fire department is out there. It's constantly out there fighting fires with other municipalities, the complexity of the type of fires and the status. And so that's the rationale, and it's also a big thank you to our partners, Zone D, if I remember correctly, that come to our aid, and we come to theirs all the time. It's really something to behold. The fire departments work really seamlessly together and handle some of these really difficult projects. But I wanted this to get on there because I don't think the public understands how many times our fire department is out there doing their job. Alderman Mayor?
I would just want to add, I'm sure you've heard about the large fire that happened in Greenfield last Saturday. Franklin was well represented by the engine company that responded to that. And also Battalion Chief Paul Reiners, who was a recent battalion chief, recent promotion, he was chief officer there, and he took, his assignment was accountability. And if you can imagine a large fire like that, the person that has accountability tracks every person that's working on that fire. So it's a massive job to do, and Battalion Chief Reiners did an outstanding job, and the rest of the crew did very good, too, on that fire.
I have biweekly meetings with the two chiefs, and sometimes much more often. But the last time I asked the chief, Chief Remington, if he could join the police chief and I, and he was at the scene. And just so you know, just because he's a chief doesn't mean he sits in the car. He came in here, and the whole place reeked of smoke, and everybody was complaining about it.
With the training that he received, he better not be just sitting in the car.
Okay, anything further?
The consolidation study that I'm sure you're all familiar with suggested ways we can all work together. In my opinion, it was a little bit light on the ways that we already do work together every day and very effectively. And this letter I wrote in our fire last week is a perfect example of that. We train with all those departments with the goal of this in mind, but our plans never survive our first contact with the enemy, so to speak. Not sure who said that. I think it was a World War II general. It's rare that everything goes according to plan. In this case, it did. And as Chief Mayor said, later that same day, our engine company was at a fatal fire in South Milwaukee, and then 2 days later, we were at the Greenfield fire. So we are working together, not just with our close partners like Greendale, Greenfield, House Corners, but also Oak Creek, South Milwaukee, Cudahy. We all work together here.
And the one thing I've learned since I took this position, or I guess alderman, and I know everybody, all the elected officials know this, but, you know, when you have firefighters from Milwaukee County responding to the scene, this isn't like firefighters up in Hayward, Wisconsin. First of all, they get there usually within 4 minutes, and when they do arrive, you have some of the best trained firefighters in the nation. And I like to refer to them as being paramedics who also fight fires. Our force, our staff, can do just about anything. And that is not the case in most parts of the state or the nation. So just want to point that out. And I guess we all want to, whenever we can, thank the fire department, police officers, public health nurses, because they're in harm's way. So thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
We have the minutes of February 18th, 2014 in front of you. Is there a motion to approve?
Got an adjustment. Okay. I think you have in front of you a revision. But actually, in listening to the recording, I think if it's appropriate to end it after connectivity committee. Alderman Mayor moved to table indefinitely the recommendation of the complete streets and connectivity committee.
Who was the second on that motion?
It was Mark.
I was.
Okay. Is that acceptable?
That's okay.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Alderman Wilhelm?
Would it be appropriate for the heading to say recommendation rather design for the reconstruction? Because that's not what the heading of the item was. It was actually a recommendation from the committee.
Okay.
And if we're going to make sure the citizens know what we're doing, we don't want to put on that it's the design for the reconstruction of the road when it was a recommendation.
I would agree. Any objections? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Public hearing on special assessment for installation of water main in West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Hill Drive to a point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Hill Drive, and we will be taking public comment. Madam Clerk, can you please read the notice?
Notice is hereby given that the Common Council of the City of Franklin has declared its intention to exercise its police powers under Section 66.0701, Wisconsin Statutes, and Section 207-15, Franklin Municipal Code, to levy special assessments for water main installation improvements in West St. Martin's Road from South Chapel Drive to a point 440 feet southeast of South Chapel Drive. A report showing proposed plans and proposed assessments and other data is on file in the office of the city clerk at Franklin City Hall Notice is hereby given that such a report is open for review and inspection during normal business hours and will be so continued for the period of 10 days after publication of this notice. Notice is also hereby further given that on Tuesday, March 4th, 2014, at 6:30 p.m., the Common Council will be in session in their chambers at Franklin City Hall to hear all persons interested, their agents or attorneys, concerning the matter contained in the preliminary resolution and report, including proposed assessments. If you have any questions, contact City Engineer John Bennett by order of the Common Council of the City of Franklin this fourth day of February 2014.
All right. Mr. Bennett, do you have a presentation for us? And I will open it up for public comment.
If you're from that area, the property owners, please raise your hand, and we do have a handout that we will give you that you can kind of follow through this PowerPoint. You don't really have to take any notes and follow through. Again, this is the bottom bank, the light drop.
Everybody see the, can you see the screen and read it? Anyone having difficulty reading it? Okay.
Okay, this is on St. Martin's Road, and it's from South Chapel Hill Drive to a point 442 southeast. And as you know, that St. Martin's Drive is not a east-west street, so I can't say to the south or to the east, but to the southeast of Chapel Hill Drive. Why is this before us tonight? This project is planned to provide a second connection to the west side of Franklin because we only have, water utility has only one connection, and if that connection would fail, the whole west side of the community would be out of water. The Board of Water Commissioners have requested that this inner lake of 440 feet of water main be installed to better have reliability with the water system.
Hey, Jack, clarification on that?
Mm-hmm.
How long has this area been like this with this unreliable water issue?
A number of years, probably 20 years.
Okay.
But it keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger on the west side. So it's that's wrong. And since the residents in the area have not requested the water main extension, and this is a transmission main, the city has adopted a policy of offering a 10-year interest-free deferment so that no payments would have to be made for 10 years, and then the city would reinstall this water main before it was probably naturally needed. Again, with pointer, but the area at Loomis Road and Drexel Avenue, a small area, only has one water main that services the whole north east part of the city, northwest part of the city. And the little connection that's needed is this piece that's on St. Martin's Road, south of Chapel Hill Drive. A little bit more of a larger view. When the Indian community was built, the Indian community extended water to their west property line, and that's where it stopped. So this really hasn't been a short connection until the Indian community was built five or six years ago. But then this is the short connection that's needed to complete the loop for the water main. And this is basically the Common Council's notice of preliminary resolution, which was adopted on February 4th, resolution number 2014-6963. The costs. Water mains and sanitary sewers have always been assessed to abutting property owners and are not paid for out of the general city budget. The city does have an impact fee for water mains, which pays for the oversized and not assessable costs. But all water main to date has been assessed to the budding property owners. In this case, only a very small portion of this water main will be assessed. There's only 327.38 feet And if we would assess that based on dividing the front footage into the cost, it would be almost $400 a front foot. But the city's adopted a policy a long time ago that the city has a maximum assessment for water main, no matter what it is, and that assessment is $68.35 this year. And it increases by the cost of inflation each year. Also, a lateral would be extended on the addition of quarter lateral, and we only charge, since we generally figure from the center of the road, and this water main would be on the opposite side of the road where the laterals are, we only assess half the cost of the lateral to the property owners, basing it if it was down the center of the road, they'd only have to pay on their side. Benefits, we always go through this because this is part of the state statutes that we have to go through the benefits. That would be increased fire protection, reliability of service, assurance of a water supply which has been routinely tested for potability, and the elimination of the need for the maintenance and repair of individual well groups, the ability to develop a vacant or under or partially developed property, the elimination of the potential for cross connections between private wells, and the elimination of the use of a limestone aquifer, which is more susceptible to contamination by pollutants from surface contamination, including fertilizer, pesticides, and spills. We do not require connection to the water main. Well, connection is required to sanitary sewer, but there is a connection fee at the time of connection, and that increases each year with the cost of inflation, but that's $1,970 and must be paid at the time of connection. And as I mentioned, because this is not requested by the area residents, they would receive a 10-year deferment for the total cost of the water main and lateral, and would not have to pay anything for that for 10 years, and then they could take a payment program after that 10-year period. Construction. The 16-inch diameter water main that is planned to be installed on the northeast shoulder of St. Martin's Road. Laterals or services, as I mentioned, would be extended across the road to each lot, and again, only half the cost of the lateral has been assessed. All driveways will be restored and lawns will be landscaped. The area will be open to traffic at all times, and the connection on St. Martin's Road will be paved with hot mix asphalt. Laterals, and the lateral, this particular a cross-section of the sanitary sewer, the city then installs the lateral to the lot line, and that's the city port to the lateral, and that would be assessed. And then at the time that the homeowner decides to connect to the water main, they would extend the lateral into the house. The property owner would determine where the lateral would be extended for the house, and we would send the forms like such. Each lot would receive one lateral, if none are requested, but in this case it would be very important that the laterals be put in at this time because half the costs are being paid by the system. The laterals are available at the stated rate, so the extra laterals are available at the rate stated. The property owner will be able to select the location of the lateral, and special locations, if you have a lateral, a copper lateral that was put in with the sanitary sewer, even though water wasn't available, we will help locate that lateral so the water main can go into the same location. Policies. We do have a minimum of 100-foot of frontage, and that's been the city code ever since we've had a code on water main. And also, we have a code for odd-shaped lots. And in this case, with the three lots involved, they do each have the one has an odd-shaped lot, triangular lot, and our code reads it would be the average of the front and rear. Well, the rear is zero, so it would be half of the front, and that is to try to make the assessment policy fair. And since there's a minimum assessment, and that's basically no matter how big the lot is, you get one lateral, and that serves the whole lot. Over the years, the code has been that the minimum is 100 feet. So if you have a high-stake lot or even a small lot, you still get the same service to the house, and that's been determined as a minimum assessment of 100 feet. Connection charge that I mentioned is $1,970. Connection fee increases by inflation index, payable at the time of connection, and the fee basically pays, offsets the cost, and in this case, fees from other water main extensions and the impact fees help pay for the cost that's not accessible. And in this case, a very large percentage of this cost is not accessible. City code does not require connection to the water main. If you do connect, the existing wells may be continued for lawn sprinkling after the connection with a permit from the city. But you can keep the well, they can't be interconnected with the water main itself, because that would be a cross connection and be illegal. At the time of connection, the water utility will install a meter and a radio lead out, so utility staff does not have to go into the house to read the meter. Kind of miscellaneous is the general cost of water depends on how much water you use, of course, because it's metered, but the average use is about 12,000 gallons a quarter, and that would be $84.57, which comes out to be $28.19 a month. The bills go out on a quarterly basis. If the council decides to award bids on this tonight, March 4th, construction could start March 47th, completed May 5th, and the landscaping completed by June 19th. And again, if they wish, we have a payment program, but in this case, they'll give a 10-year deferment if they do not want to connect the water. Once they connect the water, the deferment is no longer used. We have prepared an assessment roll, and we did this based on estimates. The costs were fixed for the front foot assessment, and the cost came in considerably less than we had estimated for the laterals, and that has been reflected in the assessment report. And Mr. Mayor, that's my presentation.
Okay, I guess here, before we open it up for the public to speak, does the council have to vote on this tonight, or
no.
I guess when does the council need to vote on it?
Within the next 30 days, but they don't have to vote tonight.
The reason I ask that is because we are in an election cycle. You could have a whole new council up here. Yes. City attorney?
Question for the city engineer. With regard to the front foot method of assessment, do you believe that's a reasonable method of assessment under those which may be available?
Yes, the city in the past has looked at a number of types of assessment. There's a home site assessment, which every home, no matter what size it is, gets assessed for the same amount. It doesn't work well in Franklin because when you have large undivided parcels, you start having to guess how many lots. So the front foot assessment is used by most communities, and I feel the probably the fairest way to assess sewer and water, and we've done that for the last 45 years since we've had sewer and water.
Okay. Alderman Mayor?
Mr. Bennett, you mentioned it's going to be done before it's naturally needed. I have a pretty good idea, but could you define what naturally needed is, and could you give some kind of a timeline when it would be naturally needed?
I don't know if it's naturally needed. I think it's when the homeowners would request the extension of water.
Okay.
This is really being done basically for the city or for the utility, and that's in a transmission main. That's when this deferment of payment comes into play for 10 years to try to kind of offset them getting the water main now than maybe 10 years from now. And that the city came up with this, and that's been in practice on 51st Street. We used that on Oakwood Road recently. It's been in effect for years and years. It seemed to have worked well. It's some way that we can give some relief to the property owners that they don't have to pay now. They've got 10 years, and we feel that more than likely, this water main would probably be extended within that 10 years. They get it at today's prices, but don't have to pay for 10 years. So if when you really think about it, it is a pretty good deal for the property owners.
Thank you.
And if we don't, we just have, the city has always assessed water main. It has not come out of the general tax funds, and it's either paid by special assessment or impact fees. And that's what the people pay when they hook up.
Alderman Taylor and Alderman Wilhelm.
Thank you, Your Honor. Jack took the words right out of my mouth regarding, or the examples of 51st Street and Oakwood Road. And what this kind of has in common is those projects were done before 51st Street was repaved and Oakwood Road was redone. And based on county projections and budgeting, you know, next year in 2015, if all things follow suit, St. Martin's Road will be reconstructed. So it's nice to do these things, so we don't have to tear up the road down the road. And I know that's what we, you know, that was some of the conversation back, I think, in 2009 on 51st Street and 2010 on Oakwood Road is, you know, even though this is, they're not, I think, talking about this because of that road project coming up, because, I mean, the county could get bumped a few years down the road. We never know. I don't think it will, and I hope it won't. But last thing you want to do is do a brand new $2.5 million road, and then a couple years later, dig it up. And it's not a large stretch, but still. You know,
Alderman Wilhelm, and then Mr. Bennett.
Well, I guess my question about how long has it been like this? You said 20 years. I'm just wondering, it's been like this for 20 years. Is now the time for us to spend $141,000? I guess that's not going to be completely my decision, but I would like to ask that question. And the other section that was put in by the Indian Community School, was based on development. So this is a little bit different that we're doing this. That the fact that it's not been requested by the residents, and they're not being required to connect to it, makes me wonder if there's other reason that we're doing this, because things in the past have come up like this where we got to get this in. Next thing you know, somebody seemed to know about something coming down the road. So I'm just curious about that part. But maybe the residents want it. We have yet to hear from them. And I'm also wondering if the outage over in the Drexel area, if that were to happen, what it cost us $141,000 to repair an outage. I mean, if the water is out for a day and we have to go in and fix it, are we talking a $5,000 repair, or are we spending $141,000 to repair something that might not happen and we could only spend $5,000? I guess I don't know the answer to that, but those are just questions that would help me in my vote on this if it does come to vote tonight.
I would think if we lost water to half the city of Franklin, the cost to the public would be horrendous. We have to boil water, we have to have a boil notice out, and we have to boil the water until we got approval to turn the system back on. And if the main was hit, before we even know about it, everybody's got water.
Let's hope that doesn't happen.
I guess
that's why it's a gamble. Yes, do we have to do this? No, we don't have to do it. But you are gambling that you could lose the whole west side of the city, and our Board of Water Commissioners recommends that it be done. And just one other thing, Mr. Romeis is here, so maybe after the meeting he has the detailed plans. If they'd like to go back, they can see the more detailed plans.
Mr. Romeis is the gentleman, the handsome gentleman over here.
So I guess I'm just wondering if it's, if it's that urgent and it would be a total crisis and a big cost for the city, why have we waited 20 years, even if it was just the last few years, the last 5 years, why is it just coming up now? But,
well, we could wait another 20 years, and if it doesn't happen, then there's no problem. We think that it's a risk. We want to take that risk.
Okay, we have quite a few items on the agenda. I'm going to open this item up for a public hearing. Sir and others that would like to come forward, and I am going to limit the testimony to 3 minutes, and if others, after everyone has testified, would like to testify again, we will entertain them. Sir, if you could please state your name and address for the record.
Joe Smith, 10523 St. Martin's Road. Why are we paying for the
footage from this on the other side of the road.
Mr. Bennett?
Yes, we would normally assess both sides, but the other side of the road has service from Mission Drive. Your service already from Mission Drive.
Okay. Okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to do directional bore this?
Yes.
Are we? Oh, we are.
Across the street, directional bore. The angles.
Okay. Why? Why are we getting this?
We feel that it's important for the water utility, for the city, to have a second connection for the west side of the city.
There's another reason. 440 feet? That's all?
That's all. That's all we need to do to make the connection.
But we don't want it.
That's the reason for the public hearing, is to tell us what you want or don't want. Yes, sir. If you could, please state your name and address for the record.
Kenneth Stannis, 10515 West St. Martin's Road. I also don't want to have it. I can see by your agenda G5 and 6 and by your opening statement on the letter to us taking the police action that pretty much we're going to get this whether we want it or not. By some of your recommendations as far as for the fire department to clean water, our water's always been clean. When the folks in Milwaukee County got cryptosporidium, we were fine. Every year when Franklin has a water shortage, we're not on your system bringing down the burden, putting more burden on the system. We're doing fine where we're at. So I think it kind of boils down to what you're saying. The main reason you're getting it is for the supply of the rest of the people, which I'm in agreement with, too. It's the cost on it that's going to... And like Joe said, too, if it's on the opposite side of the street, why can't you just connect it and leave us alone? Give us that option at another time instead of charging us $6,000 or $7,000 to bring in a few feet of pipe that we don't want to begin with. And then a few thousand dollars after that to finish off the lateral. Then you charge us for the water. Then because we got improvements, you jack our taxes up. And all because of all in the place that we don't want it in the first place. Not only that, but I don't know if you folks got this letter from the RE/MAX realtor in regards to the property behind us for future lots and water usage back there. I don't know if you folks got a letter like that, but that I can see that possibly happening too. And what we're saying, if you want us to have it, if you want this thing to go through, I don't see the benefits to us that much because we're pretty well existing. The fire department never bothered us for 20-some years I've been out there, and the rest of these reasons really don't pertain. If you want to bring it through, absorb the cost. That's all we're saying. We're already strapped by the taxes that we're having a hard time paying because our jobs are gone. Our house value is down. We can't afford this. Even at the generous rate you're giving it to us, it's a burden on us.
Just so you know, sir, that's the whole purpose of having a public hearing. I don't know that there's anybody up here on the council that has made any decision whatsoever regarding this issue.
Appreciate it.
Can I have you address him to ask a question regarding the map that he had? Is that a proposed development map in the area that
it's a RE/MAX proposed development out there that they want. They want us to purchase lots. And I don't know how that much had a bearing on this issue to begin with at all. I don't know. It's kind of coincidental.
I mean, I can tell you my position as the mayor right now. I don't have a position. It's. I think that Mr. Bennett said that on behalf of the water utility, which is a separate governmental body, that actually the council has no jurisdiction over, except for I make appointments and they confirm the appointments. They think that this is a very good idea so that they can have coverage for the entire area. The reason it's here, as I understand it, Mr. Bennett, is because capital improvements costs have always come before the Common Council. But the mere fact that I'm hearing the number of questions that I am from the council members, I'm just picking up that they haven't made any decision at all. They want to listen to you, and they want to listen to Mr. Bennett and kind of hopefully make an intelligent decision. And you might remember I said to Mr. Bennett before this began, I said, well, what is the timetable for the council? Do they have to vote tonight? Can they delay this? How long can they delay this? Because it's very possible that you could have a brand new common council. You're certainly going to have a new mayor up here in less than 45 days. So I think that signaled in itself that I don't believe any of the council members have made any decision at all.
That's good to hear. I think the recommendation made by that gentleman there in regards to holding off doing anything, at least until the road's coming in through in 215, you can save yourself $100,000 by dropping it in when they bring the road in.
Yeah, Mr. Bennett and his staff, they have very, very difficult jobs because they also work for the Board of Water Commissioners is a number of citizens, and they come forward with their recommendations, and they basically give the staff marching orders to go out and try and get it completed. So I don't know that Mr. Bennett has been staying up at night worrying about this issue, but obviously you have very eloquently stated your position as to people out of work, payments are difficult, and knowing the people that sit up here, I guarantee you that your statements have sunk in.
All right, thanks, sir.
You're welcome. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Yes, ma'am.
I'm Susie Stannis. I'm his wife, 10515 West St. Martin's Road. I guess what I don't understand is I understand the benefits, but I don't know how that affects us if we don't have to be connected. Why are we then assessed that just because it's across the street? I don't understand.
The water will be brought across the street to you.
Okay, but you're saying we don't have to connect to it.
No, you can't connect, but you don't have to.
Correct. So we all like our Lake Superior water. But then we still have to absorb this $10,000 estimated amount of money whether we connect or not, correct?
If the council would vote for this.
And Mr. the handsome gentleman over there that I pointed to, he's going to be available after the public hearing to answer any of those questions you haven't thought up yet. So, and kind of walk you through all of this. Okay, you're welcome. Anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Is there anyone else wishing to speak during the public hearing? Going once, going twice. Anyone wishing to speak during the public hearing? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing. And Mr. Bennett, we do have this in the our agenda packet, and a little bit further down the pike. I guess I would, Alderman Skronsky, it's your aldermanic district. Something that you want to?
It's both of ours. The water's on Alderman Meyer's side, and I got the residents on my side.
Is it something that you want to act on tonight, or?
Well, I think for my concern, I would have to go along with the residents and vote no on this because they're the ones that are truly affected by it, and they don't see any need in it to it. And I would, if it came up for a vote, I would vote no on it. But again, Aldermayor he's got the other 50% of that road, and I think his comments would be very important on us because we do split that as our aldermanic district.
Well, I know that you're spending a lot of time in Madison these days, and you're very, very busy. I just wonder, you know, what I brought up is while the item is on the agenda, it's not that you are compelled to vote on this tonight. You could table it to the next council meeting to give more time to talk to the residents and get more feedback on that. And I guess I would recommend that right now. But
If I may, if I finish, I there's no urgency or imminent need in order to have this. It's for the future. And what the gentleman says, I think once the road and Supervisor Taylor would say, okay, this is coming down the line, we want to fix the road, that's the time that this should be enacted and then the water. And I think the folks there would agree on it, that would be the time to do it. Because you don't want a new road torn up and then put back again. That's just extra cost. That's foolish. So I guess it would leave it to Alderman Mayor.
I think I would agree with that as well. And the constituents that are affected are on your side. It doesn't affect anybody on my side. So it would be easy for me to say yes, but I don't think I'm prepared to vote yes tonight. I think I would probably vote no. If we had a vote tonight, I would probably vote no as well.
think, Your Honor, if we can leave it, I would just put this off for a while, let Mr. Romeis talk with the owners a little more, and it can always be brought back for further discussion.
Well, again, I mean, in less than, I guess, 45 days, neither you nor I will be up on the council, and so I don't know, I just don't think it's right to be strapping new elected officials with this stuff until they have the ability of weighing in on it. Right. And it has been out there for some, like, 20 years. I guess I would suggest a motion to table until the two aldermen for the district recommend that it be placed back on the common council agenda.
Is that correct?
On item G4, correct. Is that a motion?
Yes, it is.
I'll second that.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. And Mr. Romeis is available to meet with you. Yes. All right. Item G1, ordinance to amend the municipal code as pertains to fees for advanced life support services.
Move to approve.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item 2, status of open council, common council items. I asked, I'll call it an internal Taylor audit of the city before he leaves. Just kind of coming up to date to let you know what's outstanding, what the council or what the department heads have found, what they have not, and so that you're up to date on things that have and have not been completed. So, Mr. LeVert, Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I did notice a couple things that were missing from the list that I was aware of. So.
It's good. And anyone else that, if you know of things that are not, Mr. LeVert, do you want to walk us through your report?
If you'd like me to, sure.
Yeah. I don't know that you have to go in great detail, but.
Yeah, I don't, unless we have questions, I don't.
I just would like to add a couple of items. I mean, I read the whole thing, so you're not doing it for, maybe doing it for the residents here. The connection to the Rock in the 76th Street business area, which is a motion made at the council, and the economic development director within the budget. And
that was in there. That one is in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I guess I missed that one.
That's
And there was one that you and I personally had. I just wanted to remind you about the billboards. And that wouldn't be in there because that wasn't a council. We were just working on the billboard issue.
And that is still active. The state DOT is working on that one, addressing their issues relative to two existing billboards on the along the 27th Street corridor and their relationship to the state's reconstruction of 27th Street.
Oh, I guess I did read that about the economic development, and I had a note on here that my recommendation to that committee was Phil Hollowick, and that wasn't noted in your notes here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we did.
Okay, any other things that the council members may have thought about? Mayor?
I just have a question about the billboards. What is that?
It's something in the district on 27th where there's six of them as the entrance to our city. It doesn't make it look very appealing right now. But it's a DOT, it's a state issue, so it's not not something that we can tackle as a council too easy. So I've been working with Mark LeVert on different ways to tackle.
Okay.
Yeah. Any of the other aldermen, if you think of anything that is outstanding that that did not that the department heads or Ms. Liberta or I did not think of, please bring it forward. We want to make sure that new folks get a fresh start and know what's out there and what isn't. There was a request by former Alderman Olson to speak on the matter. If there's no objection, I'd ask for to suspend the regular order of business to allow him to speak.
So moved.
So moved.
It's been moved. Seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, I say the motion carries.
He's got to be short, though.
I didn't even want to be recognized. Steve Olson, 8091 South Meadow Creek Court. I'm a candidate for mayor. Sign ordinance, only partially implemented. The rest of it's sitting somewhere.
Thank you. And you're correct. And Mr. Liberta and I talked about it, but I guess we forgot to include it.
No, the sign ordinance was left off because there is no current outstanding direction from the Common Council. So it is on, there are many, many, many other items on this list that departments are working on, but that what we tried to include here were either items that the mayor specifically wanted to bring to your attention or ones that there is an outstanding action of the Common Council where you're asked for information to come back or you asked for something. And the current status of the sign ordinance doesn't have one of those directions. There was a last report made, a similar report to this, and it was just acknowledged that it's a project staff is working on, but there is no current directive on it.
I do have one that I don't know if it's on there or not. Is there a motion to return to regular order business?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We have a gentleman's agreement between City of Franklin and Oak Creek regarding street improvements, bearing overhead cables. I don't know that that's been codified in a written document, but certainly the parties have met and the 27th Street Steering Committee and members of it all met and talked about it many times, but it's probably something that should be codified in writing. Okay. Anything else? If you think of anything, please let Mr. Liberta know. Let's see. Concept review of proposed senior civic center at Orchard View Shopping Center. The applicant and Mr. Deal, you want to come forward while you're doing that? I just want to, there were some comments.
Russell Stewart.
No, why don't you come up here?
Okay.
Yeah. There were some comments about why is this here? And I can fill in, I think, most of the details. And that's that, it's probably going back about 2 years. Representatives from O'Malley Investments talked to me about an idea of turning the Century Store into a possible community store. I didn't know what to really take of it, although I know that they have had great difficulty in trying to get businesses into Century, and they have also tried just about everything possible, my understanding, to get vendors to come in there from dollar stores to you name it. Anyhow, make a long story short, I didn't know what to think about it other than I know that it's a great location, there's plenty of lighting, low crime, there's a comfort level, and that if, in fact, a community center could be built there, and I'm not saying that I know if it can or can't. The other stores in the shopping center would probably be able to take advantage of the clientele that were coming in. I call it a built-in clientele for Harry's and all the other stores that were there. So I kind of ran it by a number of seniors just to figure or get some feedback on it. And the feedback I got was, yeah, we really like that idea, and we think it's great. And in fact, they kept coming up to me saying, what's going on with it? I then took it back, and I believe I talked to John O'Malley about it, and at that time it was kind of off the plate and not to be discussed again. And then there was some discussion about maybe moving some stores that are currently there over to Century, and then there was a discussion about remodeling Century and all that. Anyhow, I think John got back into town and asked for another meeting and said, hey, what about that original idea about community centers? It's something we can explore. And Joel and I met with Mr. O'Malley and this gentleman, and we went through all the stuff. And I said, well, we also have another proposal that's outstanding from, I didn't say the Croatians, but that was outstanding. We were talking with The Rock about all kinds of things and maybe a community center over there. We had had some discussions with Maria Dmitrievich about potentially using impact fees to look at the sports complex and maybe turning the sports complex or a portion of that into a senior center. And why are we doing all this? Why are we exploring all with all this stuff? In your packet, you see that I set up a facilities committee to look at exploring the building of a community center. They met many times, and then the economy fell off the cliff. And the committee, I think the alderman at that time, decided, well, you know, maybe we should stop talking about this because the economic climate is so bad. And so no meetings took place after that. I think there were like three or four recommendations for the community center back then. One was to secure the land between the law enforcement center and City Hall at, we don't know what the cost would be. I think one was to fulfill the comprehensive master plan for the city with the $9 to $12 million community center. One was to just tack on to the end of City Hall with what you'd have $1.2 million left in the community center impact fees. And I really don't remember what the other one was. But anyhow, there was some discussion about exploring looking at the library and maybe getting the library to add some more space to the library. Anyhow, I don't know how much the aldermen here know about the impact fees for the community center, but the laws changed, and instead of us being able to collect up to $9 or $10 million in impact fees for a community center, they're capped off at $1.2 million, period. So the grand plan that you'll find in the original comprehensive master plan, with
mostly in the park plan,
park plan of the nine million to probably now $20 million community center between here and there, you simply don't have the impact fees to be able to cover those costs. And I think it's safe to say that this council or the next one doesn't want to go out and borrow $20 million. To go build a community center, not unless you want to get hung by all of your constituents. So that's why we're exploring all these different avenues, and that's why looking at the Croatians and why this gentleman, Mr. O'Malley, had brought their ideas forward. And you may have some more that come forward in the next months ahead. Maybe you don't want to do anything. Maybe you don't want to build anything, and you'll come to that conclusion. But Mr. Schmidt and Alderman Schmidt and I think we met with their representatives.
Yes, that's correct.
And we heard a portion of their story. I said, you're going to have to come in with a plan. We're not going to give you the plan, and you're going to have to come in with all the details. So you're about to hear the plan.
I did prepare a common council action sheet for them to summarize some of the zoning and planning issues that were related to this. If they had any questions, they could ask me. Otherwise, I would just say that if this was only a senior center, lunch program, those kinds of limited offerings, it would be a permitted use in the zoning district, the B3. If it decides to be something more like what was proposed or envisioned in the park plan, multiple uses for multiple different people, theaters and concerts and on a smaller scale as well, that would probably require a UDO text amendment. So, otherwise, the rest is yours.
Well, contrary, we don't think we're here to try to unload a white elephant. We're here to take a 45,000 square foot building that is well constructed, well lit, and lots of parking in a good area of the city that it's easy to get to, and as you said, safe. I should introduce, I'm Russell Stewart.
Could you get a little bit closer to the mic I'm getting?
I'm Russell Stewart. I represent John O'Malley and the family. We would rather think that this is a useful purpose for a building that's got a lot of competition out there. This building was paying taxes before many of the buildings and houses in that, for that matter, since 1983, I believe it was on the tax rolls, and it's still a paying taxes. We appreciate that is something that has to maybe be sacrificed. There's some benefit to it that will inure to the whole community as a cultural community of Richmond Senior Center, I can see where it would do a lot of good for a lot of people. And the cost would be very, very substantially less than anything you could build in that size. You're probably looking at $200 to $250 a square foot to reproduce a building of that stature. It has high ceiling. It has a mezzanine, and I believe the mezzanine is probably about 5 or 10,000 square feet of that. But on the first floor, you're looking for at 30 or 35,000 square feet. Open building, sprinklered, meets the codes that way. The amenities of the greenhouses on there, the two greenhouse effects would be very nice if you had a nice atmosphere. And it has two loading docks in the back, so if you're bringing anything, stage materials, anything of that sort that you're going to put on any production, you have easy in and out for things. It has a drive all the way around it for fire protection, police protection. It's well lit. I don't know what else to say. And I think that Mr. O'Malley had volunteered, and I think at the meeting we were at, he volunteered to take back some mortgage at very low interest rate to make it all happen.
I think that may have been a meeting with Mr. Schmidt. Yes. Not with me. But.
Need I say more?
Probably a lot more, I would guess, to try and sell the council on the idea. I said this with the Croatians, and that's that we have one of the largest populations of seniors for our size than in almost any other community. In fact, I think it is. We are by far the largest senior population. I'm looking over at County Supervisor Taylor because he knows what I'm going to say. Other municipalities have senior centers that are run by the Department on Aging, and Washington Park, McGovern Park, Wilson Center. I could go on and on and on and on and on. One of the ideas with any of these proposals, whether it be the Croatians or whatever, is I think we need to, and I think I lobbied you on this, was to approach Milwaukee County about opening up a senior facility, if in fact a facility was available. People in Franklin, the seniors, the children, deserve a community center just like any other community center in the rest of Milwaukee County. We're paying the same amount of taxes, about 20% of every tax dollar is going to Milwaukee County, and yet we don't have a facility. We do have three county supervisors in this district, and I know that you're outnumbered many times, but if in fact you can find a facility such as the Croatians or this, I think it's also incumbent upon Milwaukee County to come in and run that facility, maybe move the meal site, set up what they have in these Wilson Center and Washington Park, craft areas, areas for entertainment. I'm looking at Casper out there. He knows this stuff better than I do. So that the seniors have a place and the children have a place to go. We had a presentation several years back by the children of Franklin Public Schools and Project Citizens where they did this, and I don't know if you're familiar with it or not, did this very, very detailed presentation of what's needed to put together a community center. I think Steve was here, Alderman Solomon, and I said at the time we should probably hire them as consultants because we got a lot more out of their report than we get from those consultant reports. So there's a need. Now, I have a question for you because of some things that I've heard recently, and that's that the utility costs for the building, I'm hearing that the utility costs may be as high as $260,000 a year.
I can't verify that at this time. I'm sure there has to be some other meetings and some investigation. I gave them a parking lot figure, which was way off base when I got back. They have the lowest can charges of any of the shopping areas for snow plowing and maintenance of the parking lot. And but they're maintenance and the utilities have to be considered no matter where you are.
I mean, for me, the concept review, and again, I'm getting tired of saying this, but I'm not going to be here. I'm going to need a lot more and see a lot more. I need great details. I need a plan. When these other proposals come in, they have color renderings. They have the places partitioned. They specify, you know, how much money is going to be, how much it's going to cost us. I had heard from Alderman Schmidt that there was, Mr. O'Malley was looking at maybe loaning the city $1.8
million.
$800,000. And so I don't even know if that's a viable option. But the whole reason for concept reviews is for you as a developer to get feedback from the council and the council to get feedback from you. So with that, I'll ask the council members if they have anything. Alderman Dandridge.
No, I'm a little confused. Are you going to be the developer of this site, or are you going to sell the building to the city, and then the city's going to be responsible?
That's where the situation where you're dividing it up and proposing the development of it was not our concept. Our concept is to let the city develop it as they see fit, and we would just sell them the shell, the building. The parking would be shared with any other tenants that are there. The rear parking and those areas all are common areas. It would be a wall-to-wall sale.
So that building is divisible? It's got a separate parcel number?
It is divisible. It has very distinct, it has its own fire scraper system. It has its own electric power, and it has a dividing wall. It's a 12-inch concrete block wall on one end and nothing on the other end. So
the parcel can be divided, you're saying?
CSM.
Okay.
Age of the building?
The building was built in 1982 or 83, I believe.
Life expectancy of the building?
Probably 80 years, 90 years. It's a very sound, it was still built when it was built with block and brick and concrete, and it's got a concrete foundation. The walls are all masonry on the outside. And the roof is flat, but it's got a rubber roof on it. It's been replaced once, so it's newer. The parking lot was just resurfaced when they split off the Walgreens. And the Walgreens space is empty, but they moved to the parking lot, and they encouraged remodeling the whole parking lot. So in the last 3 years, that whole parking lot's been basically redone, landscaping and all.
Alderman?
Well, there's still a lot of work that has to be done for even if we were to consider this, and at this point, I would not be in favor of it at all.
The kind of work that you need to do is mainly curtain wall construction and deciding how you're going to lay it out for your best use as a municipality.
Correct. I mean, what my recommendation would be is if we were going to even consider this, Mr. Mayor, is this would have to go back to our economic development and
finance.
And we'd have to look into the practicality and determine, really define the need on this kind of product. I mean, people said that we need it. We really have to define it and make sure that the community really wants this. So we'd have to have a lot of meetings with the community to determine this, just like we're finding out about everything else that we get involved with roads and everything else. We are very incomplete in our processes. So we appreciate the gesture that the O'Malley family and Russ, you taking the time to come out here today. But we definitely would have, this is a long-term plan.
Well, I think we understood that.
Okay.
That it's not something that's going to be settled at a meeting. It's something that needs a lot of review. And your option would have to be to get involved with an architect or somebody that's going to come in and lay it out for your use.
Yes.
Our use was one simple thing, store. And since it was built, the competition there is just, you've got Sendix down the street now, and you've got Pick and Save, but they've been paying taxes on it since 1980.
Yes.
By the way, if you don't like the idea, just say it. You're not going to hurt my feelings at all. I said at the last meeting, we shouldn't put all the eggs in one basket. And there is a huge outcry, and there has been a huge outcry by the seniors in this community for such a center. So, Mr. Schmidt?
Yeah, I know going back to when I was out campaigning to become alderman, one of the recurring themes I heard was, please try to help us get a senior center. So I know that it's been out there for a long time. Obviously, this is not an easy thing to approach. And the advantages of a location like this is the fact that there is a infrastructure there already for a lot of the basic needs with the sprinkler system and the utilities that are available. Of course, then there is the matter that is, you said the first floor was about 30,000 to 35,000 square feet.
35,000.
So it would probably require us to figure out other utilities for that facility because it would be much greater than what would be needed for the strictly a senior center. So obviously this is a concept review, so there's obviously a lot of questions that need to be answered as far as how we could be able to accommodate both parties on this.
Well, Taylor, you have that look.
I mean, this is really in the early. I can't say it. I'm not talking how many more times I can say early stages because, I mean, for us, I'm just thinking $1.8 million and then how much is it cost in terms of maintenance every year and how much is it going to cost to fill it and design it and then the parking lot. I mean, there is just – there is a big – and we're not getting taxes anymore. There's a huge, 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 huge financial impact here to the city. I don't think, you know, we're anywhere close to even saying yes or no. And I'd be curious to say, all right, what was the cost or what quotes will we get to add on to City Hall and build a brand new addition and to this size? This is huge.
And that depends on whether or not you have the land for such a building or you've got to go out to the public and buy that land.
Yeah, $1.8 million.
It's at a great intersection. There's a lot happening on that corner.
Yeah, well, that's fine, but this would have to be looked at. Right. Finance committee looked at economic development and just what are their other options. I mean, you know, before we take over, take something off the tax roll, and you know, we didn't know what we get in taxes every year, and then how much it's going to cost to heat it. Before we would maybe spend $1.8 million on this shell of a building, we could go to the Croatians who came in here and said we're going to build this facility. What's that cost for a brand new facility that they're going to operate? This is very early stages, and compared to all of the concept reviews that we have gotten since I've been here, this is by far one of the worst. I'll just be blunt. I mean, there's nothing here that tells me anything. So I'm just saying you have a lot of work to do.
The concept was to present it as a building. You buy the building, and you do the concept inside the building is up to you.
Well, then I think that we're missing a lot of data. How much you pay in taxes, how much it costs to heat, how much it costs to do the parking lot. I mean, we'd have to look at quotes internally then of how we're going to have to lay this out, how much it's going to cost. I mean, I don't even know what it would cost to redo.
I've known Mr. O'Malley for 60 years, and going into that kind of structure, if there's absolutely no interest, it wouldn't pay for it.
Well, but those are that's data that you could tell us how much what was the last year Century was there, how much did they pay in utilities,
The thing is, you're completely changing the use. The utility, for example, they ran refrigeration, they ran freezers, they ran meat counters.
Yeah, that's true. That's not apples to apples.
No comparison. Yeah.
Well, like I said, it's very early stages. We need a lot more information than we have now.
Well, we would appreciate that if you're interested. Bring us this information.
But just before
I turn, have some other meetings to do that.
Just before I turn to the other alderman,
They don't have to be council meetings; they could be a committee meeting.
Right.
They submitted an application, a concept review application, correct? And that's why you have it here. What
correct.
The supplemental information that is attached is up to the applicant.
Always.
Okay. Well, Alderman Dandria and then Alderman Skronsky.
Hey, Russ, once again, thanks for offering or the O'Malley's offering an idea to the city. The city is always looking for opportunities. This is the heart of the city. And with the activities that are going on with the Rock and the hotel that's going up, and we've got a bowling center that is vacant, and we've got a bank-owned property behind this site, okay, the city really has to look at its master plan, evaluate that master plan, decide what we're going to do with this heart of the city, okay? The last thing I'd want to do is we're looking for economic growth. Like everybody's mentioned, this reverses that economic growth engine by putting it into the city's coffers, and it's not now a taxable piece of property. And putting it right into the center of where 76th and Rawson is I believe, is a bad idea. Okay, the building is there. You can't do anything about it. But the city really has to look at what we're going to do in the future. And a senior center at that location, I think, is a bad idea for the city.
Okay. Alderman Skronsky?
Yeah, I think before you have to do it, I think all the ideas are great. There's a lot of things to do. But if you're going to sit down and look at, you know, whether it's a new building, an existing building, you're going to have to do a feasibility study and find out whether it has some merit or not. You're going to, if you go further, you're going to have to do some drawings, get some costs. So no matter what we do, you're going to wind up spending some money. That is the city. The city's going to have to do something. So it's a matter up to this future council in order to sit down and look at it, sit down with the Economic Development Commission and how it's going to be laid out and the rest of the aldermen and see is the time right. If you can get some big donors or like the O'Malley's, of course, they want to sell that building. So there's a lot of work to do on this, but I think if you don't start, you ain't going to know where you're going to be. So that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think I may have mentioned at the meeting with John that I was kind of hoping he would just donate the building.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Yeah. I think unless there's and for the record, Alderman Taylor stepped out for a moment. I think that what you're hearing is one, this is the center of the city. Many of the aldermen think that we're already collecting taxes. Maybe we can collect more taxes in another endeavor. Maybe the Economic Development Commission can help with trying to fill that building. Although I do know that you have tried, Mr. Malley had tried many times. I know that there are proposals for the entire remodeling of the center that were thrown out there. I guess the last thing I would say to the council is, again, I don't know why the city has to foot an entire the finances for a community center when you know 18 other municipalities are enjoying these senior centers and community centers. They're brought to you by the taxpayers of the taxpayers of Milwaukee County. And our 20% is going to these other communities. So, and I know that the county supervisors for the area have really tried to do what they can, but many times that they're outnumbered with, how many do you have now? With other parties that want to spend the money in their areas. I would cite Mooney Pool as an example of dollars that have been spent that probably could have been spent out here in Franklin. But if people don't come forward with their ideas, you wouldn't know. And I think this helps in many respects to make some intelligent choices for the future by X-ing off certain projects and concentrating on others that maybe have a real future. But the last thing I want to say is that I think trying to use $1.2 million in impact fees to tack on to the end of City Hall just to put a room out down there, I think that's a very bad idea. And I think trying to get the land that's between us and the law enforcement center, good luck with that. And And if you're going to be looking at building a $20 million Wilson Center like they have in Brookfield, I think good luck with that one, too. So maybe I'll come down on the microphone and speak up on that one at that point. But thank you very much. Please thank Mr. O'Malley for his idea. Again, the seniors thought it was a great idea. So.
Well, I think it's a great idea for the community and cultural and all the centers. I think it could have a place for all of those. Developing, you'd have to do that. It's not,
right.
O'Malley's not going to do a development project for you and say, here it is. That has to come from the municipality itself.
Or Milwaukee County,
Milwaukee County,
or donations.
I don't know anything about their contribution, so I can't speak to that.
Okay. Well, anything further?
I can only speak to what we have.
Okay. Are we supposed to give the email? Are we supposed to give some direction on this? Or
I think you have.
I mean, I know where I'm in favor of. I mean, I said, hey, we want to push this to economic development and finance. To see if it's anything's practical, that's fine with me. But
you're right.
But
he wouldn't mind coming and meeting with you or representatives. But
I mean, I'm not going to just kill the deal. But if we want people to look at the practicality and the feasibility of it, let's have it go to the proper committees. Okay, I mean, they should determine it and then bring it to us.
Right.
He asked for a concept review. Right now, the concept review has a lot of holes in it, but it's not really a concept review. It's an idea. It's saying, hey, city, would you like to buy this building from us right now? Hey, thanks, but no thanks. But let's have the proper people do the research.
It's fine.
Okay. That's fine.
Well, and if it's not here, we wouldn't know what the asking price is. We wouldn't know what that it's even available. That I mean, so this is there's nothing wrong with it being here. Just that we need a lot of more.
A buyer would do some kind of an appraisal on their own.
Right.
And they would present that, and you whatever. I mean, somewhere between here and there is a price.
Right.
It's not stacked in concrete.
Right. No. So I mean, I think.
And the other half of the loaf is that, as far as figuring out what. To do with the building, you have the uses. We have a vacant building.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the last point is I can't share this with six of you unless he comes in here.
Right, right.
Correct.
So that's the only way you're going to hear about the idea.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Thank you very much, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that with regard to concept reviews, they are non-binding. They are simply for an applicant of the concept review to hear comments by the common council members, and no action is taken on concept reviews.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Thank you, Russell.
Thank you.
Item 4, a final resolution directing installation of payment levy special assessment. Oh, wait, I think we already made a motion on that.
Yeah.
Correct, to table. Item 5, resolution awarding contract the amount of $117,360 to Wanasek Corporation for the. Oh, wait, same thing.
Table.
Let me see if I can get a different glasses.
Table 4, 5, and 6.
Item 6, resolution awarding the 2014 bituminous and aggregate material bid.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and second under discussion. Alderman Wilhelm.
Reading the motion, if that shows up in the records, it means nothing. So I would suggest after the words bid, we add what this is for, because right now it reads, motion to adopt a resolution awarding bids in accordance with the attached engineering department recommendation. It means nothing to the people. On
Maker of the motion? It's up to you.
Would you repeat that, please?
Just insert that it's for the aggregate material.
The mayor's request already said that when he mentioned a motion to adopt the bids approving, and that's what's in the minutes.
Okay, he just said, so moved on.
To the mayor, which is what the mayor said, which included it.
All right.
Okay. Okay, do you accept the...
Well, I think it's in the...
Well, I guess, could you read back the motion because...
The motion was, I'll read back the motion, resolution awarding the 2014 bituminous and aggregate material bids.
Okay.
That was the motion.
But it didn't have adopting the resolution.
Oh, and then the bond on there, and resolution award bids in accordance with attached engineering department recommendations.
Okay, if you put the two together,
sure.
That works.
Who's the second? And is that acceptable to you,
yes,
Alderman
sir.
Schmidt? Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. The city attorney points out G5 also would require a motion to table, and I don't remember what the motion was. Was it to table until the two aldermen for the district requested that it come back?
Yes.
So I would ask for the same motion. Mr. City Attorney?
Only that perhaps the common council should hear from the city engineer with regard to any time limits with regard to the award of bids. Are they 90-day open?
I think they're 60 days. So yeah. I have to make that decision within 60 days.
Okay.
So probably later than the first meeting.
Okay. Well, the alderman, the motion still works. All you have to do is read that.
Well, yeah. This is for the road if you put the water in, right? To do the asphalt. Am I correct?
Well, this has nothing to do with what
okay.
You're just talking about.
Okay.
This is supplies that we patch.
Okay, you're just buying product.
And the
no, run, that's no. Past run five. Back to five.
We're on five.
Right.
Okay.
All right. Well.
What?
Alderman Taylor.
Well, regarding number five is basically what I heard is there was no real desire to do that
right.
Little bit of the water main until a later date. So
yeah.
this is I don't think we're going to change our mind in 60 days. But then again, we'll have a new mayor and a new council, so maybe table it to the second meeting in April or whatever. I mean, you need 60 days. Table it. What? Well, the bids will expire then by July, so you can't wait. You only have to wait 60 days.
Alderman Taylor, you have the floor.
Right. So I would think the right thing to do is refer this back to staff and let staff bring it to us when it's going to expire, let the council decide. But what I heard on that item was that there was no desire, and I think what we need to do, going back to item number four, we need to find out, you know, we'll look to see when the county's going to do the road and
right.
See what kind of cost savings are going to happen. If it's going to be done in 15, 16, well, then that'd be the time to put it in and probably save some money, if we can, to do it in conjunction instead of ripping up the road twice. We don't want to do it. But I don't know if the residents completely understood was, let's not do the road and then 5 years from now come back and do this. So they may only get a couple-year reprieve, but we had to make these tough decisions for the Ninnemans on 51st Street across from Fremming Park. We had to make these tough decisions for people on Oakwood Road.
I thought you had a motion in there.
The motion would be to refer this back to staff and let them bring it to us when the deadline is going to expire.
I'll second it.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none, Mr. City Attorney.
Only that I'm hearing different dates. Mr. City Engineer, you know we're on, the council's on item G5, correct, for the extension of water main?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there's a 60-day time limit within which to award bids, and that bids were opened on February 27th. So it'd be 60 days from February 27th, correct?
Yes.
So I'm referring it back to staff and letting staff bring it back when before the expiration date.
That's what I heard.
We can do that.
That's what I said.
That's what I
said. That's what you have.
Yeah, that's the motion.
That's the motion.
You've never been wrong before.
That was the motion.
And it's been seconded, too.
Right.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Moving right along.
Are we, let's see, where are we now? We did six.
Yeah.
Because I blew that five. Item G7, and that would be a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for a truck repair and towing business used upon property located at 1113 West Forest Home Avenue. Alderman Skoransky.
I've talked, gentleman's left a message a couple times. I've talked to him once. I've talked to the realtor. Obviously, everybody knows I know that building. I just have a problem with that business going in there, in that area. I really do. I don't think it's conducive to the area and what's there. As much as I have empathy for the gentleman, and it's a business, he's trying to find a much bigger area for what he has. He's located on a small filling station on Janesville Road in the village of Hills Corners. But in good conscience, I cannot vote for this this business going in at this place at this time. I don't know if I can revise a motion here, but it's up to the city attorney.
Yeah, maybe have some, I would assume if somebody makes a motion to approve, you could vote no. You could make a motion to deny.
If I can, I'd like to make a motion to deny the request by this applicant.
So moved and seconded. Under discussion, Mr. City Attorney.
You want a reason?
Only that a decision to deny a zoning decision, and this is technically, legally, an administrative decision as opposed to a broader rezoning, which is totally in the legislative category. There should be a reason specified for a denial. I would point out that the code specifies bases, which are rationale for the purpose of a special use, and it requires findings that the proposed use will be in harmony with the purposes of the Unified Development Ordinance and the Comprehensive Master Plan, that it will not have an undue adverse impact upon adjoining property, and that it will not interfere with the development of neighboring property, that it will not cause undue traffic congestion. And there are other factors there as potential, hypothetically at least, to support a motion to deny. And then referring
page 647
to section 15-3.0701 of the Unified Development Ordinance, which sets forth those facts.
What I had heard from Alderman Skronsky, without him being so specific, is I thought he said that he did not believe this to be for the best, highest, and best use and for the common good of the people.
Correct.
And I would say
I can go on and on, but I don't think we're going to sit here for another 2 hours.
But I think those reasons why he said,
yes,
I think they all were, they do cause increased traffic and to the disturbance of the neighbors. And I think all those things were reasons why I supported based on what you were saying.
Okay. Motion on the floor has been seconded. Any discussion?
Is that enough reason?
City Attorney.
Well, the municipal code contains the bases, and what I'm hearing is that this particular use would have an undue adverse impact upon adjoining property.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And it would cause undue traffic congestion.
Mm-hmm. Two. And interfere with the, and would interfere with the development of neighboring property.
Three.
Alderman Skronsky?
Yes, I agree with all three items that this would not be the the best area for that business, and would have all that impact negatively within the neighborhood and the surroundings.
I do see your hand, sir, and that's it's now before the council. We've had plan commission meetings and other hearings on that. Alderman,
but I'm seconding it based on those items there.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I just noticed that staff had recommended approval, and I'm going to guess, did the plan commission? Plan Commission.
I think they recommended approval.
Okay.
There were there was one dissenting vote, and the chairman was not in favor.
Well, I have a little bit of concern about turning away a business when we keep talking about business development. I guess I'll refer to the district alderperson. He knows the neighborhood better than I do.
Okay. Any further discussion, Alderman Dandrea?
You know, I, along with Ms. Wilhelm's comments, granted, we don't want to discourage business, and I know these two gentlemen that are out here at, trying to bring business into the community. I had some concerns with the with planning and the limitations that they were posing on this parcel, and comments that were made in your write-up that that really the city is requiring sprinkling of the building, and then there were comments on page 76 that stated due to the building being very old and in rough condition, if we had to make these improvements, we would not be able to afford the property. It appears that the finances may be tight, and with those types of comments in writing compared to the recommendation, I would have to lean with my fellow council members to say that I can't support this at this time.
Okay. Any further discussion on the issue? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, could you please, before you do that, just for clarity, because you did say you are familiar with this building.
Yes.
You were at one time an owner of the building, but you have not been an owner of that building for a long
correct.
Time.
Correct. I sold the building in 2008.
Okay. Just want to make that crystal clear. Yes. Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of denial, vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? 6 ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Okay. item G8, addendum to self-storage facility use special use permit to allow for parking vehicles exceeding 8,000 pounds.
I make a motion to adopt resolution 2014, whatever the imprint, an addendum to the self-storage facility use special use permit to allow for parking not more than 3 vehicles, not exceeding 13,000 pounds, manufactured GBW at 6951 South Lovers Lane Road.
Second.
The owner is Storage Masters LLC, applicant.
Any further discussion on the motion? Alderman Dandria.
There was a gentleman that did reference, should we clarify? No, I know Alex is here, but no, Mr. Lysak was mentioning something about if we give a blanket approval of any vehicle over 8,000 pounds, is that going to create some problems?
I thought it was Mr. Lewandowski and
or
he said
Lewandowski.
13 pounds.
Oh, I think they both remind me of each other, though. They're very similar.
Yeah, that's
they're
right.
Similar in many ways.
Well, Mr. Sorry about that, Leroy.
Number one, I appreciate what the recommended council action was on this action sheet, but it is not a new resolution. It's an addendum to a resolution the common council already adopted. Frankly, I've repeated that many times in the last month or so among staff. So the motion, as I understand it, is a motion to adopt an addendum to resolution 2014-6957, an addendum to self-storage facility use special permit to allow for parking not more than 3 vehicles, not exceeding 13,000 pounds manufactured gross vehicle weight. And with regard to the 13,000, that recommendation was made by the Plan Commission. The reason that 8,000 pounds was originally in there because that's the Unified Development Ordinance category title where you need a special use for vehicles over that weight. Plan Commission capped it for this particular special use at site at not to exceed 13,000 pounds.
Okay. Yes.
We have a motion on the floor saying the motion is inappropriate.
If the movement and the person who seconded it wish to amend it to as I read it to the record.
I will accept that.
As will I.
Okay. Any further discussion on it? Alderman Dandria,
still, are we going to put some clarification to the types of vehicles that would fall under this 13,000-pound description. I trust the individual, but what happens if the gentleman sells down the road and we've got this restriction out here, and then all of a sudden we've got different vehicles parked back here that we said, okay, it fell within the guideline?
Mr. City Attorney.
The one line, actually two line addendum, provides for special use permit to allow for parking not more than three vehicles.
Correct.
So not exceeding 13,000 pounds manufactured gross weight. So it's three vehicles.
Total.
And not more, yes.
Yeah.
Not to exceed three vehicles.
Okay. Not each one. Okay.
Oh, you mean three vehicles totaling 13,000 pounds?
No. Each vehicle not to exceed 13,000
pounds. Oh, I didn't think so.
Right, it's three up to 13,000-pound vehicles.
Each.
Okay.
Total weight of 39,000 pounds for you mathematicians.
Okay. Alderman Skransky, you had your hand up, and Alderman Wilhelm had her hand up, so yours first.
I agree with what the city attorney has, and my motion is on the floor for approval.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Just to point out, on page 105 in the plan report to the Plan Commission for the addendum, it says, as previously indicated by the applicant, storage master intends to park three moving trucks on site. Now, here's a descriptive part. The trucks will be parked on the west side rear of the property. The trucks are 14-foot box trucks, 22 feet in total length, and have a height of 10 and 4 inches of manufactured gross weight of 12,000 pounds. So there it is. If you want to put in the language that Alderman D'Andrea was looking for, there is language and description if he was wishing to do that. Just pointing that out. I don't really have a preference, but I just want to make sure everyone knew that.
Well, we have a motion on the floor, I'm pretty sure, in a second, and it's been clarified, and the motion was by Alderman Skaronski modified to accept the suggestions and statements of the city attorney. And then there was a discussion about Alderman D'Andrea. Did you want an amendment to the motion?
No, now that I have a clearer idea of what kind of vehicle is not going to exceed 13,000 pounds, they can't get greater than that, so
right.
I'm fine with it.
Okay. All right, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Did everyone understand the motion? Like the clerk to read it back.
Sure. Alderman Skaronski moved to adopt the addendum to resolution number 2014-6957, which was a resolution imposing conditions and restrictions for the approval of a special use for self-storage facility use upon property located at 6951 South Lovers Lane Road for Storage Master LLC applicant.
I just got raising his hand all the time.
I feel like a sandwich.
Yeah.
City attorney.
The proposed motion was a motion to adopt an addendum to resolution number 2014-6957, an addendum to self-storage facility special use permit to allow for parking not more than three vehicles, not exceeding 13,000 pounds manufactured gross vehicle weight.
Correct. Yes.
Is that correct, maker of the motion, second?
Yes, Your Honor, on the motion.
Correct.
Any further discussion on the motion? Seeing none. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you very much. And
thank you very
nice
much.
Thank
you.
Picture
if you're interested.
Yes.
It's a very scary-looking vehicle.
Yeah. There are three of them there. Okay, we have the Planning Department's 2013 Annual Report Review of Permits.
Number nine.
Nine.
The deck.
Okay, that's why I got it in my right hand. Resolution authorizing construction of a deck within the 50-foot open space buffer. Alderman Taylor.
Thank you, Your Honor. I represent this area, know the area well. The owner has talked to the neighbors,
I've had no calls in terms of complaints, no issues. The Subdivision Review Board, MLG, reviewed it and approved it. So based on everything I've seen, I'm going to make a motion to adopt resolution number 2014-whatever, authorizing construction of a deck within the 50-foot open space buffer easement upon Lot 13 in Cardinal Heights Subdivision.
Second.
Moved and seconded. Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I noticed both the Plan Commission, well, staff, first of all, recommended denial, and the Plan Commission unanimously recommended denial. I guess I'm looking at this as there's got to be 3,000 ways to build a deck, and we're looking at one. So to answer the question on is this self-imposed, a self-imposed hardship, this deck could be modified so simply not to encroach on that 6 feet. And I'm looking at the picture of this. They would be much better enclosing, you know, a staircase that wraps underneath for winter conditions rather than being up on stilts anyway. I mean, that's a deck that might work well in warm weather, but the shifting of those posts with the height of that, and I wouldn't even go with this plan if I was the owner of the property, let alone the fact that we have city laws and ordinances that don't allow this. Now, the developer had to put in this space buffer under this certain type of development and probably got more lots because he put this land aside for the city, and now we're encroaching in it based on a self-imposed hardship when there are, like I said, thousands of alternatives. So I think you should just get someone who can, rather than going with some cookie-cutter deck thing from, I don't know what, building supply place, to go out and get an architect and do it right. I was looking at the reasonings on here, which, let's see, and try to determine if there was any validity. The first one says, a deck without a staircase is a safety hazard. The deck is planned to be created on the first floor. In case of emergency, the stairs would be useful. Well, redesigning the deck would not take away stairs for emergency. The modified plan has already been approved by the subdivision. Well, that's no really no good reason to skip over the ordinance. And the stairs of the deck does not in any way reduce the impact of the design that limits the view or the sounds. Neither of those two are even valid. So the only one that's partially valid is the one about the stairs needing a deck, and nothing would prevent him. All he has to do is come up with a redesign. I mean, we've been, this is really bad. There's a reason why the Plan Commission, who was pretty soft in these, recommended a unanimous to disapprove this. So I can't see voting for this when it's a self-imposed hardship. If it was a hardship that was, he couldn't do anything about it, or he couldn't just change the deck a little bit, he couldn't spin the stair around just a little bit, then I could really see supporting that. But I guess I'd like to ask the city attorney, what is it the Plan Commission members thought that this was a self-imposed hardship or wasn't a self-imposed hardship?
City attorney?
Wasn't at that plan.
No. Mr. Deedle, I wasn't either. I was on the verge of dying. But it, I would, as you're going through your notes, I would agree with Alderman Wilhelm.
I believe the comment was made, but most of the discussion was about they believed that there were many options available to the owner.
And did he consider other options when he came to you? Did you?
Yes. He mentioned a couple at the meeting, and he does not like any of the options. The preferred and only alternative he likes is the one he's proposing.
So it's a personal preference to go into a city-held public area with a private development when he has alternatives.
Although, yes, although MLG does have to approve the deck as well, so some of the alternatives might not be available. We had offered to talk to MLG to try to explain the situation to him, but the applicant must not have been interested because MLG clearly didn't want a staircase on the side. But they probably wouldn't have had a problem with a spiral staircase or a smaller deck with a stair in the back. But the applicant doesn't want to do that.
So it's a matter of not wanting to do it rather than can't do it.
Right. Although, but I want to be as honest as I can. The options available to the applicant may be smaller than we believe because MLG has to approve this as well. And if they wouldn't change their opinion, the options are fewer, but still options exist.
Well, I'm not an architect, but I've looked at enough building construction plans that I could go home tonight and probably within an hour draw up something that would be better than this. And he's nodding his head in agreement with that.
We do and sir, I do hear, I do see your hand, and we do not allow people to speak unless there's a motion to do so, suspension of regular order of business. We have had this at the Planning Commission. We have detailed reports in front of us. I don't know that you have a motion on the floor. I see Alderman Schmidt was chairman of the Planning Commission, so he voted against it. So you may have a split decision here. Anyone else wishing to speak on the subject? Alderman Taylor.
Well, I mean, I appreciate Alderman Wilhelm's comments, and I truly I do, and I'm not going to get into a debate over them. And maybe I look at things a little bit differently here. This man owns his house, pays a lot taxes to live there, talked to his neighbors, didn't get any negative feedback, went to MLG, who has, you know, there's still lots available, sold it to them. They said they were okay with it. You know, it's not encroaching any wetlands or natural resources or things like that, so there's no harm except for it's violating a policy that we put into place, which we have the right to deviate from. So I understand what concerns you have, but I'm not going to say that you know, that's your opinion. I'm not saying you're off base. I mean, that is your belief. I look at it a little bit differently. It's his home. He wants to do this. He's talked to the neighbors. He's not ruining a wetland, a buffer, nothing like that. It's an open space buffer. So that's why I support this. I don't you know, we know that Plan Commission and anywhere else it's gone is a recommending body. At the end of the day, these items come here for us to decide. Sometimes I agree with Plan Commission. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I agree with planning staff. Sometimes I don't. And we all have that right to make. But I'm looking at the homeowner and what he has to deal with and the fact that he did talk to the neighbors, has letters of support from neighbors. I don't see what the big deal is. That's why I made the motion. That's just one out of six right here.
Alderman Wilhelm?
Well, I believe this is a health easement by the city. Would that be correct, City Attorney?
City Attorney?
Yes.
So the land would be in the public's interest for the city, not just the Homeowners Association? Would that be a fair statement?
I think you're directing it at the city attorney?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know of the municipality that, well, let's put it this way, I don't know of any property in Franklin that's owned by the city of Franklin that's not for some public.
Right.
This is an easement, not fee ownership. And the purpose of the easement was with regard to, and Mr. Deedle might correct me if I'm wrong, that the open space buffers go to the aesthetics of subdivision development. So that there's that somewhat of a judgment call. Site to site, potentially. Mm-hmm.
Is, while it's plan, the property is in the public domain, which he's encroaching upon, which is held by the city. And that's a little bit different than being on his own property and having, say, the wetland in the back where he needs to encroach into the buffer that's part of his lot. This is not even part of this gentleman's lot. And so...
Yes.
this isn't really any different than the guy who wanted to come in and put the fence inside the area, which was his lot, because he had alternatives. The gentleman has alternatives. And until he pursues all the alternatives, or at least is willing to accept one or two other alternatives, I think it's wrong to just jump to the conclusion that we should just go against our planning staff experts and our citizen volunteers on the Plan Commission and against our own ordinances just because someone doesn't want to be flexible. So,
anyone else wishing to speak on this subject? Alderman Schmidt.
Well, I understand the culprit, desire to try to acquiesce with the homeowner, but I will stand with my vote that I took on with the Plan Commission.
Okay. Motion on the floor to approve. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Clarification of the motion. Okay. What are we voting?
Voting to approve. Right.
Okay.
So if you're wanting to allow the applicant to build what he wants to build, you would vote yes. If you stand with the Plan Commission and their recommendations, you would vote no. Okay. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No.
Those opposed?
No.
No.
Okay. I've got the Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman D'Andrea?
No.
Alderman Mayer?
Yes.
Alderman Wilhelm?
No.
Alderman Taylor?
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt?
No.
Alderman Skronsky?
Aye.
Motion fails for a lack of a majority. Is there any other motion on the city attorney?
Mr. Mayor, while this is not per se a zoning application, in effect, denial, I would suggest, just to prevent any new questions of law being raised, creating new law, that perhaps the Common Council entertain a motion to deny and provide a rationale, and based upon the comments to support that motion, and based upon the comments, what I heard would be a motion to deny the requested release of open space buffer because there are alternatives available, because the proposed need for the encroachment is self-imposed, and pursuant to the reason set forth in Department of City Development report for the meeting of February 20th, 2014.
Alderman Schmidt, do you want to make the motion?
I'll make the motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded under discussion. Alderman Skronsky.
Yeah, anybody can come up and say, oh, I don't like this. The gentleman's paying for it. It's his property. He's not hurting anybody. He's got the approval from the homeowners association, from the subdivision owner. Since when is this council starting to be a nanny here on saying, I can redesign it better? It isn't that question. That's what he wants. That's what he wants. You like a blue car, I like a silver car, you know, I like a red car. That's for us to see. And that's what he wants. He's the owner. He's not hurting anybody. He's not encroaching on anything. I mean, times are starting to get a little off whack here.
Alderman Skronsky, and let's try and push to wrap the things up.
Yep, I'm done.
It's getting close to 9 o'clock. Alderman Wilhelm?
A mere correction on the statement we just heard. It is not his property he's encroaching upon.
All right, we have a motion on the floor to deny, as specified by the city attorney, and it was made by Alderman Schmidt and Alderman D'Andrea, who seconded the motion. Mr. City Attorney?
Only that, with regard to these comments and nomenclature on whether it, whose property it is, it's an easement. It's an open space buffer. It's within the description for this property owned by the persons who own the property. It's an easement.
Great. Okay, we have a motion to deny it. Table's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
No.
Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
No.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
No.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
No.
Alderman Dandridge.
Aye.
Mayor breaks the tie by voting aye. Is there any further discussion? Okay. Item 10 is Planning Department 2013 Annual Report Review of Permits and Application Special Projects and Community Growth Issues. Alderman Wilhelm.
These are the complaints. Not on that one?
Nope.
Or on item 10.
Okay. Never mind.
Any questions? The report that you have is for informational purposes. It's getting late. I do want to thank the staff for preparing it. I think you did an excellent job. And I think the everybody's always asking, so what does that planning department do? Are they sitting down there in the lazy boy chairs or what? And I think the report goes to explain a lot that the staff is very busy. In fact, I sometimes wonder if there's more of them than there are, because the number of projects that we've given them is it's pretty heavy. So anyhow, any questions about the report or comments? Yes.
Well, I had a chance to review this at the Plan Commission previously too, and I just want to commend the Planning Department for the diligence in putting this together.
And I also want to thank the city clerk for everything she does. So I never get the chance. Never get the chance.
You need a motion to place this on file.
I know. I know you don't. And quit making those laws about elections. It's driving people crazy here. Okay. Is there a motion to place on file? You did.
So moved.
Is there a second? Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G11, Waukee County Community Development Draft 2014 Annual Plan for Informational Purposes. Any questions, comments? Not. No. Moving along. G12, Donation Request from the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce for promotion of their Healthy Eating Week event scheduled for June 1st to the 7th. Mary Starr called me, and I suggested that this the policymakers are really in charge of this. So. There is a suggested motion to direct the city clerk to enter a payment request to the South Suburban Chamber of Commerce in the amount of, as a donation to offset the costs associated with the Chamber's Healthy Eating Week event scheduled to take place June 1st to the 7th, 2014, funded from amount, Alderman Wilhelm. She's on with Alderman Skronsky.
I would suggest that we insert for the purpose of partnering with area businesses or area restaurants, because otherwise it just sounds like we're doing this without supporting a business linked to it. So I think that would be important for that.
Would you want to make that motion?
I'll make the motion. With the insertion afterward, event scheduled to add for the purpose of partnering with area restaurants.
Is there a second?
Well, or I should say
we need a dollar amount.
We need a dollar.
Well, I'll do 300.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes.
One abstention.
Five ayes, no noes, one abstention. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item G12. Oh, I got that.
Yeah.
See, where's 13? It's right after 12.
That's when I wanted to come.
Unbelievable. Status of open complaints. Item Alderman Wilhelm.
I would strongly request that the confidentiality be maintained and these items be removed from the city's website. In the council packet, we've had a policy not to make these public, and they're now within a document. I did talk with Ms. Liberta about this a little bit previously, and he said that he didn't think that he was really giving out the public information, but when I read things like my neighbor has this and my neighbor has that, and it gives an address, and it's pretty obvious who the neighbor is, and that's not the intent of our complaint system. We're to protect our residents from outcry and backlash when they're trying to do something good. So would I need a motion to have that removed, or can we just do that?
I could direct the director of administration to do that if you'd like.
I would very much like that.
Okay. And I see absolutely no problem on the face of Mr. Liberta with that directive. So directed. Alderman Mayor.
I'm not going to try and hold it up, but I do disagree with part of that. I don't think we should have confidentiality. Mr. Counselor, doesn't the Constitution provide that we're supposed to know who our accusers are? I think if people want to complain, then they should have the guts to put their name on it.
Absolutely.
Not applicable unless you're in a court of law, and the Common Council has had a long-standing policy since the adoption of its complaint policy, I believe, circa 1992, that complainant's names shall not be disclosed until court proceedings. And Assistant City Attorney had reviewed this particular section yesterday, and I received comments as to what might be outstanding or whatever, and so I didn't look at it until today, and I swallowed deeply when I saw names on top of the small print, but I see those as property owners, not complainants. So I don't know that it's fully out of line with the Common Council policy, other than were the information contained into the body, and I did not read them in any detail after I made sure that it wasn't complainants' names, that perhaps the understanding by staff should be that as opposed to simply taking away records which are already in the public domain, that the records be, these particular records be removed from the city website, redacted, and the website should reference that they are in file, redacted, or copies of the documents are on file in the office of the Director of Administration.
So directed and accepted. Is
you can,
Alderman
you, no, you can go to.
Well, you're an alderman and a county.
It doesn't trump. Doesn't give me any extra dessert or anything like that. I don't, you know, extra. I'm hungry though, but I agree that with Alderman Wilhelm, you know, and I have no problem with the confidentiality. I mean, we've had this debate up here before, and frankly, if you probably look at some of the complaints in the 4th District, it'd have my name, because if people aren't comfortable with doing it, or I get an email, I'll do it myself. I have no problem filing a complaint. So I did want to comment on, I know we had someone during the citizen comment period talk about an ordinance of ours and wanted to know whether or not we had to refile a complaint, and that was a question I asked a couple weeks ago. So I thought, you know, how come nothing's been done on this boarded up house that got some pretty good press? Not too bad in an election year. And so what I'd say is no, you do not have to refile a complaint. And staff is working with trying to, the typical thing, out-of-town bank, trying to get a hold of the people to get it done. So we're working on it, but we don't have to restart the process. We have now to just get in touch with those people, and that's what some of the problems are with we complaints and anything with foreclosed houses is sometimes it's a management company. They don't answer their phone. Sometimes it's a bank. They don't care until somehow something ends up on their desk. So when you're going around telling people, knocking on doors, you can tell them that we're working on it.
Okay. Item G14, Ms. Liberta.
Two quick things. One, this form that's in the packet is identical to the same report that we've printed and distributed for the last 4 years or so. And those packets that we've individually given aldermen that aren't typically on this agenda agenda were just as much public records as these were because they were distributed. So what we'll need to do is rework our practice of what gets put into certain portions of the document. So it may delay us being able to try and do these every month or every other month like is our goal. But the second thing is note at your tables there was a one-page, two-sided document that identified another 31 of the complaints that were closed since last week where files were updated. So we did provide that to you. And I, on the right-hand side of the page, identified the aldermanic district that each of those individual complaints were in.
Okay. Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, I guess I'm wondering, this wouldn't have been an issue if you had followed the same practice before, but it became, you know, a concern when they got inserted. And a lot of times we would just get sheets of open complaints, not necessarily with the detail, and then if we wanted detail, we could come to you and get that sheet, too.
No.
This is the same report that we've distributed for years.
Right. This is the same report, but it's never been put in. It's always been given to us, and I'm just wondering why it was done differently this time.
I can comment that I asked that this be placed on there so that the Common Council and the new Common Council members would know what are outstanding items. I do think that the reports that we got, while they were bulky in the past, pretty similar to things that you have in your packet, but nonetheless, I understand what you're saying, and I have directed Mr. Liberta, and I think he's agreeing with me, so trying to take care of it. City Attorney.
And just with regard to Mr. Liberta's comment that they're public records, well, there's different categories of public records, and I understand that whatever distribution was transpiring was at council direction just to individual common council members. Not for public distribution.
Right.
And also, I said earlier, in the public domain, there may be an issue with whether or not redaction takes place. I would think that if there's any form of oversight involved within the very short time period involved in that, I don't know that already in the public domain exception would apply. So I just said that for the
Last thing, at least for me, on the subject is I'm always amazed when I get these reports, especially when I hear about things out there that, you know, we should take care of this and take care of that, take care of this and take care of that. The report pretty much screams that everything's pretty much being taken care of and that the actual formal complaints are not as many as some may think. I get emails from certain parties all the time complaining about things, but they don't necessarily put that in the form of formal complaints. For a city of 35,000, the actual number of complaints and those that have been handled is pretty remarkable, both ends. So. Okay, item G14, notice of claim from James and Barbara Woodleaf, alleging sustained water damage to basement walls as a result of the city's negligence. There is a possibility of going into closed session. I believe, Ms. Roberta, that there was a recommendation from our insurance carrier to deny the claim.
Correct. And I, based on some of the explanation in the resident's letter, I took an extra step and reviewed the documents received by and the investigation done by the insurance company to ensure that I felt that they were accurate. And based upon that, I do recommend that it be denied.
So is there a desire to go into closed session, or is there a motion to deny the claim?
So moved. To deny.
Second. To deny. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Ms. Liberta.
The motion to deny should be as noted on the council action sheet.
That's correct.
That it's pursuant to the statutory reference based upon and in concurrence with the insurance adjuster that the investigation revealed that the city of Franklin was not negligent or liable for this incident and thereby would be afforded immunity as discussed in the council.
Is that your motion,
Alderman Taylor? That is correct, yep.
And second, Alderman Dandruff?
Yes.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those
aye.
Opposed? Ayes, six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Licenses and permits?
All right, we have five items. Operator New Cameron approve. Ramirez hold for appearance. Struso hold for appearance. The Indian Buffet of Gotti Enterprises LLC. We approve the Class B if they so choose to come forward. I mean, have they applied for it? They've applied for it. So we approve that, but we deny the grant.
Okay, is there a second?
And then also St. Martin's of Tours approved temporary Class B beer and wine.
Is there a second?
Second.
Under discussion, Mr. City Attorney.
Mr. Mayor, I was at the License Committee meeting, and in short, my understanding with regard to the application for the grant with regard to the Class B reserve combination license was that the application upon relatively detailed review by the license committee totaling some approximately 50 minutes did not meet the standards required to support such type of a grant approval under Section 169-3 period of the Municipal Code.
Is that correct?
That's correct.
And the second?
That's correct.
Under discussion, Alderman Wilhelm.
So he's getting the expensive license? Is that what he's being granted?
You're asking Alderman Taylor?
Correct, that's correct.
And is there a particular reason why he's not allowed the other available license?
Asking.
We have, that's a reserve license. The committee made a decision based on future potential economic development, what we can get biggest bang for our buck. This is filling in a you know, current strip mall, an empty storefront, and we feel that the committee feels that should be reserved for a retail chain. We have a hotel being built right, on 76 and Rawson. Okay, so that's the rationale. You asked, I answered.
I know. Thank you for answering. Yeah. And my comment back to that is a small business would need the assistance much more than a large chain who could afford it. And so it just seems to be reversed to me. I wasn't there. I don't know all the details, but I do like to support small businesses, and this action actually, in my mind, kind of does the opposite. But I just want to make my comments known.
Okay. There's a motion on the table. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Paul, for the sake of clarity, I'm going to ask you to make the motions on the vouchers.
Read the
motions, correct. Not make them. Just read them.
Motion approving net general checking account city vouchers in the range is number 151224 through 151357 in the amount of $11,785,942.27 dated February 24th, 2014 through February 27th, 2014.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll. Never.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Scranton.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Well, never up until about 45 days from now.
Motion approving net general checking account city vouchers ETFs number 2547 through 2550 in the amount of $120,247.94
dated February 28th, 2014.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Skronsky.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Welkow.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. You're doing a great job, Paul.
Motion approving net payroll dated March 7th, 2014 in the amount of $328,596.51 and payroll deductions and city matching payments of $214,942.43.
So moved.
Second. Moved and seconded by Alderman Schmidt. That's what I heard. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skrins.
Aye.
Six ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Motion approving property tax refunds in the ranges of numbers 13263 through 13264 in the amount of $5,715.45 dated March 3rd, 2014.
So moved. Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, Madam Clerk, please take the roll.
Alderman Dandrea.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Taylor.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Alderman Schmidt.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Skrons.
Aye.
Six ayes. No noes. Motion carries. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Under discussion, did not have the opportunity of bringing this up earlier, but Barbara Wiesner's husband, Lee Toms, died, and I believe you should have received the date and time of the service. Lee Toms was a very, very great man. I knew him very well.
Are we sending flowers or something representing the city? I think it'd be appropriate.
That's not on the agenda right now, but
oh, well, then pass the hat.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned.